Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Vision for America.
We get 100 million COVID-19 vaccine shots into people's arms in 100 days. We will have provided over 220 million COVID shots in those 100 days.
In a GOP reply, Senator Tim Scott said the Biden administration is taking way too long to open the nation back up.
Our public schools should have reopened months ago. Other countries did. Private and religious schools did. Science has shown for months that schools are safe. But too often, powerful grown-ups set science aside, and kids like me were left behind.
Senator Scott, the Republican from South Carolina, claimed President Biden has broken his promise to seek to unify the country and slam Democrats' policymaking. USA Radio News.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with. And then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces. It's chemical-free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
America lost a hero from our space program of yesteryear. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Apollo 11 astronaut Michael Collins has died. Collins was part of the three-man crew who traveled to the moon in 1969, piloting the command module Columbia in the moon's orbit, while Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walked on the surface. An Air Force pilot, Collins joined NASA in 1963 and first went into space on the Gemini 10 mission in 1966. Apollo 11 was his last spaceflight. He later worked with the Smithsonian Institution and went on to become the director of the National Air and Space Museum. Michael Collins was 90.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. The infamous words were from the Apollo 11 mission. Two women flanked the President of the United States for the first time as Biden addressed a joint session of Congress on Wednesday evening. Biden said of the historic first, "Thank you, Madam Speaker and Madam Vice President." USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
More takeaways from President Biden's speech Wednesday night in Washington. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
President Joe Biden made the first major address of his presidency Wednesday night before a joint session of Congress. In the speech, he laid out his legislative agenda, calling for action on infrastructure, gun control, and police reform. He also urged Congress to work on those issues in a bipartisan manner.
I wanted to lay out before the Congress my plan before we got into the deep discussions. I'd like to meet with those who have ideas that are different, they think are better. I welcome those ideas.
During the Republican response to the speech, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott said the president's policies had done more to pull the nation further apart.
He promised to unite a nation, to lower the temperature, to govern for all Americans, no matter how we voted. This was the pitch. You just heard it again. But our nation is starving for more than empty platitudes. We need policies and progress that brings us closer together. But 3 months in, the actions of the president and his party are pulling us further and further apart.
Biden's speech was in front of a nearly empty chamber as lawmakers continue to struggle with COVID-19. Federal prosecutors executed a search warrant Wednesday at the apartment of Rudy Giuliani, advancing an investigation into former President Trump's personal lawyer and his dealings with Ukraine. Authorities seized Giuliani's electronic devices during the early morning searches at both his home and law office. USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24-7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Independent. This is Bill Martinez.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us, and it's also great to have the New York Times best-selling author, legal analyst, and professor Alan Dershowitz joins us now to talk about his new book, The Case Against the New Censorship. Alan Dershowitz, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us, sir.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to be on to talk about free speech.
Amen.
You guys are the last bastion of free speech, talk radio, podcast. Nobody censors you, and that's what I'm proud of.
Well, I'll tell you, and it's helpful to have sources like you, Alan, that are fighting to preserve free speech. It is foundational to our Constitution, our way of life, and our future, isn't it?
It is, but millennials don't believe in it. They have polls that show that millennials, a lot of them think, you know, free speech, we know the truth. We don't need dissent. We don't need people having false arguments. We don't need due process. We know if a woman accuses a man, of course the man is guilty. And we know that if a policeman shoots a black girl, of course he's guilty. What do we need due process? What do we need dissent? What do we need argument? We're millennials. We know the truth. And that's what's so concerning, that the people who are censoring today are our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our friends. They're good people, but they don't understand what they're doing, that they're setting back the Constitution over 200 years.
Well, this is part and parcel of a culture that's been raised on performance trophies, who have been raised in such a way that, falling down and getting a boo-boo is like the worst thing that could ever happen. I mean, we have, coming from the world's greatest generation, our parents, we've coddled our kids, and we have kind of set them up to be conditioned to not to deal with debate or reason, to even understand what it looks like. And, of course, that's been furthered by universities that have indoctrinated the kids. We want to blame professors at universities for doing this, but we parents are complicit in that whole process, are we not?
Well, I think both are complicit. And, you know, in universities today, if you get an idea that you disagree with, you feel unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
And they fire the professor, or they give trigger warnings. When I taught for 50 years at Harvard, I never expressed my opinion on anything. I didn't teach students what to think. I taught them how to think.
Yeah.
I was always the devil's advocate. I was always taking a position that was politically unpopular to teach students how to think about difficult issues. But today, professors like that would get fired. You know, to give you an example just for me. So I was like the number one draft choice of all the professors in 1964, I was a Supreme Court clerk. I was first in my class. I was editor-in-chief of the Yale Journal. And I was one of the most successful teachers at Harvard. Today, I couldn't get a job teaching at any major university because I'm politically incorrect, because I say things that the students don't want to hear. I am critical of aspects of life that today are accepted as totally true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just unacceptable.
Well, it's not only what the students want to hear, but you got administrations that are controlling these universities that are dictating. And we saw the rise of this happen when we were talking about climate change when it first came out with Al Gore. You know, the next thing you know, well-respected professors were being, you know, with or without tenure, they were being 86'd out of universities because they weren't going along with the doctrine of the day.
Well, I'll give you another example from current news. The city manager of Brooklyn Center, that little town right outside Minneapolis, after Tim Potter was arrested for accidentally shooting somebody who she thought she was tasering, he said simply that she's entitled to due process under the Constitution. He got fired. He got fired. Today, if you advocate due process, you can get fired. It's just unbelievable.
Well,
and,
And what surprises me, Alan, is that you have a situation where on the other side, you get a wrongful termination lawsuit. You can end up with millions of dollars against the city for this. So sometimes it just depends on what side of, you know, the controversy you land on. If you're on the progressive side, all honor and glory and whatever money you can sue for.
Except that the progressives aren't progressive. They're regressive.
Yes.
I don't know where they got the name progressive. They want to do away with due process. They want to do away with free speech. They want to do away with free markets. They want to do away with tolerance for dissenting views. There's nothing progressive about their views. There's a recent poll that showed, I don't know, 25% of millennials think that communism is a good idea. You know, I went to the Soviet Union defending dissidents back in the 70s. Nobody has ever been in a communist country thinks it's a good idea. What do you think people die to leave there and come to our country? You know, whatever you might say about our country, more people want to come here than any other country in the world. And it's not just for economic opportunity. There are plenty of places with economic opportunity. This is the only, I'll tell you a funny, an interesting story. So I had lunch with Ruth Bader Ginsburg a couple of years before she died. She and I grew up in the same section of Brooklyn. And she was kidding with me, and she said, you know, a question, what's the difference between a woman who works as a bookkeeper in the garment district in New York and a Supreme Court justice? And the answer was one generation. Her mother worked as a bookkeeper in the Lower East Side of New York. And I laughed and I said, what's the difference between a woman who worked as a bookkeeper on the Lower East Side and the law professor? One generation. My mother worked a few buildings away from Ruth Bader Ginsburg's mother. And, you know, she couldn't get a job when she graduated law school because she was a woman. That's all over today.
Yes.
We're a great country. One generation. You can go from, you know, the lowest class to the top. There's no other country that does that.
And the shame of where we are right now, Professor, is that we are negating potential talent because they happen to fall on the wrong side of ideology, whereas Ruth Bader Ginsburg, yes, she was on the wrong side, but she kept fighting the fight and, of course, rose to the level. For you, the same thing. And, of course, you were, you know, all part of the cocktail circuit of the left. And, of course, when experience, you know, caused you to redefine some things, you're not getting invited to those cocktail parties like you used to.
Well, that's the best news. I didn't redefine anything. I am the most boringly consistent person imaginable. Since the 1950s, I've been taking the same position. The world has changed. I haven't changed.
Right.
And, you know, today what it means to be a liberal has changed. In fact, liberal is a dirty word. Mm. Today you have to be a progressive. So I'm not a progressive. I'm a liberal. And I lost 15 pounds on what I call the Trump diet. Nobody invited me to dinner anymore. And I was able to socially distance on Martha's Vineyard very easily. Nobody wanted to see me.
Right.
So, you know, those are the costs and the benefits. But it tells you who your real friends are and who the people who put principle over partisanship are.
Right.
And I've always put principle over partisanship, and I'll continue to do that, whether it costs me friends or whether it costs me clients. I'm too old to change my principles. And my core principle is freedom of speech, freedom of dissent. And I will defend that, and I'll continue to write books on it. And I hope people will read the case against the new censorship.
Well, Professor, when you come down to Florida, there's a cocktail party waiting for you here. You're always welcome. And with or without a mask, okay? Because we're an open state here. So
I'm a masker.
Yeah,
so I'm going to wear a mask.
But to know this that you're certainly welcome here in Florida would be an honor to host you here whenever you come on down. Alan Dershowitz is our guest. We're talking about his new book, and we've got more right after this. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who'll offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who'll sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-399-3706. 800-399-3706. 800-399-3706. Again, that's 800-399-3706.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who is honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
After the top of the hour, fresh and independent we are. Bill Martinez Show. Good to have you with us for more information on the show, BillMartinezShow.com. So clever, so brilliant, the words that we come up with. But hey, look, it gets you to the right address, right? We're talking about the case against the new censorship, protecting free speech from big tech, progressives, and university. Professor Alan Dershowitz, New York Times bestselling author, is with us. Alan, we saw certainly full-blown, nonstop, you know, full stop, we should say, what happened in the 2020 elections with free speech, how big tech, the progressives, universities, you could even throw in corporate America. I mean, they were all in, and dare I say, more influence from outside the country. We keep wanting to look at the Russians, but Joe Biden is purposely not even looking at what the communist Chinese did.
Well, I'm willing to look at anything. To me, it's all about free speech. Look, I'm representing, I'm part of the consulting group, consulting with MyPillow, on the lawsuits being brought against him. I don't necessarily agree with everything he says, and I voted for Joe Biden. I'm a liberal Democrat. I voted for Hillary Clinton. But I want to have debate. Yes. I want to have discussion. I have suggested the creation of what I call a VIP, a voter integrity panel, a group of very distinguished people, former justices, former generals of the army, former professors, you know, presidents of universities, priests, ministers, and rabbis, scientists, to have a group that can listen to any challenge to any voting, any election, no matter which side is bringing it. Mm-hmm. And let's find out the truth objectively. Right now, Amen. You can't get the truth. You turn on one channel, you mm-hmm. hear one version. You turn on another channel, you hear another version. People throw around words like preposterous or unproven, etc. I want to know the truth. And
exactly.
It requires a process.
Well, you got 75 million people that want to know the truth, but they've been told to shut up. And that's insulting. That does, it doesn't move things in a way that's win-win for all concerned, because what people are most concerned about, Alan, the people I speak with, is, you know, are we going to have a repetition of 2020 come 22, not to mention 24?
Well, we have to make sure that there is a process in place for preventing. The key is that everybody at the end of an election has to be satisfied that it was a fair election and that nobody cheated. And unless we get that kind of consensus, it really, really raises fundamental questions about democracy. If you have millions of people who think that there's a flawed process on either side, it doesn't matter, because sometimes it's one side, sometimes it's the other. We need a process. And the key to it is dissent and openness. And today you can't get on Twitter if you have one point of view. You can't get on Facebook if you have one point of view. You know, I did a debate with Robert Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy Jr., the son of the former attorney general. He's an environmentalist, but he's also very critical of vaccination. So we had a debate about mandatory vaccination. It was a great debate. People all over the country listened to it until YouTube took it down. YouTube said they didn't want people to hear two sides of this issue. And so there's this really thorough intellectual debate between me and Kennedy, and you can't watch it on YouTube.
Oh, that's a shame, because that debate is needed, you know, to be heard for obvious reasons, because the whole issue, I mean, you know, Zuckerberg and the technocrats have decided that if the WHO hasn't approved it, the WHO, which we couldn't trust, you know, they've proven untrustworthy from the very beginning when COVID-19 broke out. I mean, how many lies did they tell us? But now they're the standard?
Well, you know, when the first inkling of the pandemic came out, I wrote an article, an op-ed, saying, believe science, but don't believe scientists. Mm. And we then discovered that scientists were telling us that we shouldn't wear a mask. And the reason they were telling us we shouldn't wear a mask is they wanted to save the mask for the people who needed it most. They weren't telling us the complete truth, but for good reasons. And then they told us that the virus is transmitted largely by tests and not through the air. And I wrote a piece saying, you know, it just doesn't seem right. Mm-hmm. Be skeptical of that. And I proved to be correct on both instances, I think. And so you always have to have room for debate. There's no such thing in America as one opinion that is valid.
Exactly.
The Supreme Court has held that there's no such thing as a false opinion under the First Amendment of the Constitution. There are false facts, but there's no such thing as a false opinion. And we have to be able to have all points of view expressed on social media, at universities, and on talk shows like this.
Exactly. Well, throughout history, how many ideas have been changed because of free speech, Alan? I mean, this is what makes this country great, and the things, the innovations that have come about because you had people who were skeptical that kept asking the critical questions.
Skepticism is the key to democracy. You know, it was Oliver Wendell Holmes who said that the essence of democracy is the uncertainty that you're right. the willingness to accept an opposing point of view. Oliver Wendell Holmes also wrote an opinion a few years ago, just quoted in an article that appeared yesterday, about a case back in 1913, and he said we can have no confidence that due process was accorded that case because whether he was guilty or not, the jurors were under pressure and they feared that there'd be violence if they came out with a verdict not guilty. Sounds like he was writing about the Chauvin case.
Exactly, I was going to say.
He was writing about the Leo Frank case in 1913 in Georgia. So, you know, it's 107 years ago, 8 years ago, and things are still the same. You still have to worry. I'm very concerned about the jury system in this country and the impact that crowds now have on jurors, anonymous juries, non-sequestered juries, et cetera. This is a real problem. I have no brief for Mr. Chauvin himself, but I certainly think he was denied due process. And so, you know, due process, free speech, those are the keys to continuing democracy.
Well, one of the wisest Jewish kings ever to live on the planet, Solomon himself, pointed out there's nothing new under the sun. We just keep recycling these things, don't we?
Yep. He also said to everything there's a season. And so we have to worry that, you know, this season, the season of suppression and repression, hopefully will be over soon. The millennials will grow up and will realize that they, too, will benefit from free speech. That free speech is one of these paradigms that is good for everybody. You can never have free speech for me but not for thee.
Yeah, exactly.
It always comes back and gets you in the end.
Well, I'm a bit optimistic for this season, speaking of seasons, Professor, because this thing's been exposed. I mean, we know what the opposition is. As you pointed out, it's not progressive, it's regressive. And I want people to understand more, if you can unfold that. We got a couple of minutes left, so that they understand what you mean by it not being progressive, that it's actually regressive.
Well, anybody who thinks they know the truth and denies you the right to express different points of views is repressing freedom and repressing truth and repressing diversity of opinions. And that's what's so dangerous. You know, you hear it today, everybody wants diversity, diversity. But they don't want diversity of opinions. They only want diversity of superficial factors, not of factors that really make a difference, like points of view and attitudes. And so I just think that today the greatest danger we face as a country is that our right to dissent, our right to express different points of view is being endangered, not by the government, because you can fight back when the government is doing it, you can bring lawsuits. But it's much harder when, A, it comes from private parties, and B, it comes from decent people, our children, our grandchildren. We like them.
Yes.
You know, they're well-intentioned, but as Justice Brandeis once said, the greatest dangers to liberty lurk in people of goodwill, well-intentioned, but without understanding. And I think that's an apt description of the millennial progressives or regressives today.
Yeah, good point. The case against the new censorship is an analysis of every aspect of the current fight against freedom of speech, from the cancellations and deplatformings practiced by so-called progressives to the powerful, seemingly arbitrary control exerted by big tech and social media companies. Alan Dershowitz, outstanding book, and we wish you all the best with it. We're going to link it on our website, of course, available at all the usual places. The bottom line, 45 seconds left. What do you want? What's the big takeaway here?
The bottom line is, if I disagree with you, I will defend your right to say what you have said, even if I disagree with it. You cannot simply allow points of view to be expressed that we find agreeable. And we can't allow big tech to be the arbiters of truth and arbiters of what we can see and hear.
Without a doubt, does not bode well. Professor Alan Dershowitz on his new book, New York Times bestselling author, The Case Against the New Censorship. Professor, thank you. Appreciate the time. Take care.
Oh, thank you very much. Be well.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, so if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 2% with a 2.27% APR. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 15-year fixed rate is 2% with a 2.27% APR. Incredible! These are historically low rates you may never see again. So, refinance it and forget it. That's a 15-year fixed at 2.2% with a 2.27% APR. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT, 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run, call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT, 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight and the Finance Lenders Law. Number 603-787. An equal opportunity lender. Loan amount 500,000 and greater. 1.45 discount points apply. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden, in his first address to a joint session of Congress Wednesday night, laid out his vision for America.
We'd get 100 million COVID-19 vaccine shots into people's arms in 100 days. We will have provided over 220 million COVID shots in those 100 days.
In a GOP reply, Senator Tim Scott said the Biden administration is taking way too long to open the nation back up.
Our public schools should have reopened months ago. Other countries did. Private and religious schools did. Science has shown for months that schools are safe. But too often, powerful grown-ups set science aside, and kids like me were left behind.
Senator Scott, the Republican from South Carolina, claimed President Biden has broken his promise to seek to unify the country and slam Democrats' policymaking. USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
We're back with you 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here, and we've got Dr. Wilfred Riley joining us as soon as we can. He is the author of the book, Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. And of course, I just can't wait to talk to him. I'm curious to see how his students are going to respond as the professor is in the classroom with these kids to see what their thoughts were about last night, especially with the back and forth. And some of the, you know, the faux racism, and I throw that up there because you can tell how threatening a guy like Tim Scott is. And he gave, of course, the post, I didn't call it officially a State of the Union. I guess what would have made it an official State of the Union is if Nancy Pelosi would have torn up President Biden's speech. But she didn't do that. I guess she kept it together. And so, but it was historic. There was no doubt, you know, when the president goes up there, you know, for the first time ever. I mean, there's two women behind him. We've never had that. So it was quite historic, to say the least. But that's probably where it began and where it ended. The other part is, as much to the shock of one Bill Clinton, you got Joe Biden announcing all these years later in the 21st century America that the era of big business, big government is back, Dr. Riley. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that more than sort of personal progressive policies or something like that is one of the big questions with the Biden administration. How much are we going to see the government itself grow? Mm-hmm. I believe Robert Reich said on Twitter and Instagram yesterday that Biden had a chance to be the next Franklin Roosevelt.
Yes.
And I mean, I think obviously if you're on the conservative side of the aisle, you should look at that a little askance because we don't necessarily need another one.
No.
But I mean, we've already seen two massive tranches of COVID spending that come to something like combined $4 trillion of Biden plans on another one. And then there's the discussion about the National Infrastructure Plan, which obviously includes almost anything. It's leading to jokes like, you know, I am infrastructure, knife fights are infrastructure. So, yeah, we could see some pretty big government expansion.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, of course, if his goal is to, succeed FDR in executive orders, he's running a little slack, although he has a lot going on. I mean, officially in the official language of the Beltway, he's only had 42 executive orders inside of 100 days. But there's other things that they can do that have the in almost the premise as an executive order. And so when you total it all up, it's probably close to 100 executive or associated orders that have taken place in his first 100 days. Of course, FDR still has the, he has the award. He's number one with, I think, over 3,600 executive orders. Everybody else was, around, give or take, anywhere from 100, 300, somewhere in that range. But Joe Biden is moving quite quickly to do everything he can to do it by fiat. But meanwhile, in practice, I mean, he's telling everybody else, well, I'm a moderate and I'm bipartisan and I want to work with the other people. But he did kind of do a little bit of a sidebar there when he said that, he had wanted to work with the Republicans, but, he had to move quickly. I mean, it was kind of like the same excuse that Barack Obama used in pronouncing all his executive orders.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot there. I mean, first of all, obviously, presidents use executive orders when they don't have much interest in working with or interacting with the rest of the government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and FDR was the all-time champ at that. I mean, he clashed so much with a more conservative Congress and Supreme Court that he actually considered packing the court, which Biden's also considering, by the way.
Exactly.
So, I mean, Biden, when you say only 42 executive orders, I know there was a bit of the tongue-in-cheek there, but, I mean,
yes.
It's been 100 days. That would translate to about 150 over the course of his first year. I mean, 600 or 700 throughout a four-year presidency. We haven't seen that too much in the modern era. And you're absolutely right. I mean, he's doing other things that have that same kind of impact. So, I mean, he just declared, because the president is also the head of the executive branch, right? That he's raising the minimum wage inside the executive branch to 50 or for all government contractors to 15 or 16 bucks. So he's trying to have a really big impact early on. And I think if you come from the right or the center, a lot of that's going to be stuff you don't really think needs to be done. I mean, we need to open back up. We don't need another tranche of COVID funding.
Right. Well, as Mike Pompeo said, he talks rhetoric that seems reasonable, but his policies don't line up. And this is where it's going to take some, a little bit of IQ from the everyday voter and the citizen right now, because we are where we are right now with this government because we, the people, have checked out. And this is what happens when you let the elites, the ruling class elites, run away. And even I thought it was quite comical because even Joe Biden last night kept saying, we the people, we the people. I'm going, do you realize what you're saying? Because all you've been talking about is we the government. You've been talking about what the government has done, but you couldn't have done it without the people. And plus the other statement, which I'm still researching right now, is saying that, the unions built the middle class. I don't recall that to be, factual. Do you?
Well, I mean, I have a soft spot for so one of the things that you get into here is that in politics, especially on the Democratic liberal side of the aisle, you have the constant changing of the meaning of words.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when people say Joe Biden talks like a moderate, what that means is that Joe Biden will say something like equality or equity that has, a generally agreed on definition. Everyone starts at the same line. We rein in maybe some of this affirmative action for minorities, some of the legacy stuff for rich people who are often Caucasian. That's what most people think. What Biden means is almost exactly the opposite, if you want to talk about what equity would mean to, say, Ibram Kendi or someone like that. So that's how you can sound very moderate but say things that are intensely radical. Like, we need to preserve the environment doesn't mean, for Christ's sakes, pick up your trash. It means we need what I'm an old school environmentalist. I hunt in the woods,
Mm-hmm.
But what it means today is we need to pass the Green New Deal. We need to eliminate the national dairy herd. So be aware that the words themselves are changing. Look up set Google to, 2005 settings and look up racism, then look it up today.
Yeah, exactly. We're being allocated. What are we down to? He wants to allocate only one burger a month or something. Is that the next step? I mean, this is how ridiculous some of this stuff is getting.
I mean, so first of all, this is the other thing with the unions. private sector unions did help build the middle class. When you look at people fighting back, I mean, Cesar Chavez in the Southwest, mm-hmm. or people fighting back again, who was hard on illegal immigration, by the way, or people fighting back against the coal miners, some literal brawls there. The issue now is that Biden's talking about public sector unions. So should government officials like teachers and low-level bureaucrats be unionized? I mean, the boss isn't going to try to break them with Pinkertons, you know. Mm-hmm. But the food suggestions, obviously that's not enforceable. And, you know, and I do think the right is kind of, you know, after seeing what happened to 81 leaked to 1-6 and so on, there's a little paranoia. I mean, they're not actually going to come in your kitchen and check to see if you have meat yet. But, I mean, this is more of kind of the invasive lifestyle advice. You do get more, I think, except maybe sexually, from Democratic administrations. Like, remember Michelle Obama going into the schools and suggesting how the lunches be prepared? I mean, that's more of this.
Yes.
Like, the government's issuing dietary guidelines, and one of them is that you eat 4 pounds, I think it's beef per year, no more. And you're starting to see that in connection with some pretty weird stuff, like the major men's magazines running recipes for insects and so on. And I do think at some point, citizens are just going to have to say, no, I'm not buying it. Yeah. Like, next flu season, a lot of citizens, especially men, are going to have to say, no, I'm not wearing 2 triple-ply face masks again, because you now say that the flu is more dangerous than we thought it was for 100 years. And it's the same thing with this. I mean, hopefully, you know, the Beef Council and so on will resist suggestions mm-hmm. about prices and not advertising their product and so on.
Well, speaking of,
come take it.
Speaking of the flu, have you seen the flu numbers lately?
Oh, yeah, they're virtually nothing, right?
Yeah, they're non-existent. I mean, COVID cured us, you know, cured the flu.
Well, I think that this gets into, so first of all, in a typical year, there are about 70,000 flu deaths. That wasn't, quote-unquote, a right-wing talking point. It's just a known reality. Right. Influenza and infectious coronavirus diseases, like, cause of death number 6 most years. Last year, COVID-19 was cause of death either 3 or 4, which, by the way, people need to know. Most people think it was number 1 with a long by a long shot. But, I mean, as part of that, there were virtually no flu deaths. I don't know how pneumonic deaths did, so I won't speculate. But, I mean, my educated guess would be that if you had COVID-19 and any other viral or bacterial condition, and obviously many, many people did die of COVID-19, so it's some kind of conspiracy, but if you had COVID and the flu, you were probably listed as a COVID sufferer. I mean,
without
I can't imagine something else.
Yeah, COVID in a truck, and you still were listed as COVID. So, yeah, we know that. Yeah, these things are just, there's no question there's been an overstretch, which is going to be interesting. How are we going to clear those numbers up when we really look back, you know, 20 years behind to say, hey, what really happened during COVID? And we've got more from Dr. Wilfred Reif.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Clay's Cleaning Service has a spotless reputation.
You take care of the windows. Hello, this is Clay.
But his business operations could use a light dusting.
Wait, I had you scheduled for next week. I'll just check here. No, absolutely. We will be there tomorrow.
Indeed can help him hire the people he needs.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
For $1 a day, if any covered appliance breaks in your home, we guarantee to fix or replace it. All makes and models, washers, dryers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and more. Guaranteed to be fixed or replaced for $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club now for free information.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
Thank you.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez.
The brightest sunrise, wait on the darkest night.
I don't know if you caught this, but in light of all this, are we coming out? Are we burning masks? What are we doing? You know, Joe Biden says, hey, look, at he's going to loosen up restrictions. Well, let me tell you. President Biden, this is typical of what the Democrats and what Biden have been accused of over the years about leading from behind. The people are already there. You know, they're already, some are already having a bonfire with their masks, except for all the gals who have spent so much money. They've got about $2,000 invested in masks, Dr. Riley, and they're reluctant to burn them. But most other people are about ready to burn them down. But I love what the CDC now recommends. This is according to the Babylon Bee, so you got to take it with tongue in cheek here. The CDC now recommends wearing a seatbelt even when you're outside the car.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the satire side, as you said. But, yeah, I do think that is a kind of funny comparison. And obviously, when you listen to the government's medical boys, if you listen to them talk about anything from sexually transmitted infections to how much beer you should drink, the point of doctors is that they don't want anyone to ever die. So that's the starting point. But, I mean, in terms of how people actually behave, like, I'll say this. There's no scientific basis, and I've done research in COVID-19. I've written on the topic, actually. Mm-hmm. At a decently high level, I mean, although public intellectual, but I mean, at any rate, there's no evidence that you should be wearing masks outside. Something like 99.1% of COVID-19 transmission, this isn't disputed, comes from indoor encounters that last more than 15 minutes, so that's point one. I wouldn't speculate that more than 10% of people, at least in the red states, have been wearing masks outside. So as with a bunch of other things, like the government advisory that you never speed, I think most people are just looking at this and saying, oh, okay, you know, the government has to say that, but it's just nonsense. The more important thing with the Biden administration is kind of the downplaying of the vaccines and, like, the anti-science behavior in a left-wing direction. So if you read these CDC directives, it's like, well, if you've gotten the vaccine, you can now meet with up to 5 people as long as you wear a mask. And I agree with Ben Shapiro and most commentators on the right. That's kind of nonsensical. Yeah. What the vaccine does is reduce your risk of getting COVID by something like 94% and cut your risk of transmitting it almost to zero. So if you have the vaccine, there's no reason, in my opinion, because free citizens get to make their own health and moral decisions, that you wouldn't just live a normal life. The idea that you would get a painful two-shot vaccination and then you would go home and put a mask on because you're technically indoors is extremely bizarre.
Yeah, it is.
You know, wait the time period, whatever it is, 9 days, and then go live your life. I mean, and that is the advice in a number of other countries that I understand Swedish policy,
exactly.
What the French are now saying and so on. Mm-hmm. So you got to take this with a grain of salt.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, it was, I had to laugh. Because here he walks in, you know, he's got a mask on, and we're talking the alleged State of the Union. I'm not sure what they called it, maybe a joint address, because somehow it's not the official State of the Union. I said, well, the reason maybe because Nancy Pelosi didn't rip up his speech. If she had, then it would have been official State of the Union. But anyway, but you come in, and every one of the members of Congress there in that room had to have been vaccinated. And they're all wearing masks. And meanwhile, Joe Biden is saying, hey, look at, you know, the emperor's here, the czar is here, and we're lifting the restrictions on the mask. I mean, you know, you're now free. It's like, wait a minute, but you've got leaders of the free world here all wearing masks. You're going, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a place between extreme. Well, actually, first of all, I'm closer to the extreme, quote unquote, right on this one. I mean, I think that there was never much evidence lockdowns work better than what you could call NPI. Mm-hmm. And you can't shut down your country to prevent something like a 0.5% increase in deaths, which might have been the difference between those two positions. That's why the speed limit for business and postal vehicles isn't 25 miles an hour or something like that. We accept the risk in life. Right. But certainly with the vaccines out and with those vaccines being almost a medical miracle, a lot of this stuff that you're seeing from the Dems specifically makes a lot less sense. And I'm saying this not from a partisan, but from a scientific perspective. Like Joe Biden was one of the first Americans to be vaccinated, as I understand. And he's been double vaccinated. He got Moderna and Pfizer, unless I'm misreading multiple articles on this. You know, he's the most powerful man in the world, whether we like that or not. So some of the stuff that he's doing, like he wore a mask on a Zoom call the other day. There's no logical reason to do this. And mm-hmm. you can argue, well, of course, it's performative. It's teaching people to do a good thing. No, it's not. It'd be a good thing to wear a mask if you're not vaccinated in like a 6-foot room with some grandmothers.
Exactly.
There's no logical reason mm-hmm. after you're vaccinated to walk around with a mask on a golf course. Like what he's doing is presenting these vaccines as less effective than they are.
Right. Exactly. No. And the thing, you know, the other thing my thought was is like in the days of Noah. Because I think we're coming to the end of this and people are wondering, okay, are we really at the end? What are we going? Because there's some government officials who are going, oh, no, we got another wave going. I mean, we got to just keep milking this for all the money we can. But I thought, see what you think about this idea, is that we get Governor Cuomo and we have him spend a weekend at a nursing home. And if he comes back, then we're on the other side of COVID. What do you think?
I mean, that's a savage joke. I mean, obviously, by the way, though, there's a real point there, which is that all this virtue signaling around masks ignores the reality that there were a few things from the beginning that you could do to restrict COVID. One is protect our seniors.
Yes.
So do you have nursing home staff that you can trust to actually follow the rules, since we've been almost joking about most people aren't? Okay. Right. It's important for them.
Right.
And two, are you doing something like 2-week consecutive shifts so that they can stay in the facility? These are nurses. They know how to manage that, but you'd have to run it as a boss. Are you doing things to protect seniors? Cuomo and many other governors, unfortunately in both parties, mostly on the left, did the exact opposite, where you're sending people with COVID back into the nursing homes.
Yes.
So that actually killed something like 15,000 people. I mean, that's
well, that was just that's just in New York. You're not counting Michigan, because Governor Whitmer did the same thing, you know, to your suggestion here. Yes.
No, perhaps 70,000 total, but that's what I'm saying. Another thing would be canceling very large events like pre-vaccination. I might not have gone to something like an NBA game.
Right.
But again, you saw these giant George Floyd marches, you know, noble cause to some extent, but mobs in the streets, often rioting. And this involved something like 20 million people by the end. There was no shutdown on that again, especially in the blue states. So when the same people that were throwing street festivals and that were not managing the senior facilities look at you and say, like, masks under your nose, I mean, that doesn't really get into how COVID actually spread. Mm-hmm. And there's probably so much frenzy around this masking and so on because so many other things even, you know, allowing widespread use of Tinder, where Fauci would encourage hookups at one point, all of that, all these things that could actually cause danger in the large urban areas were very constant. So if you don't want to feel guilt about that, you can maybe seize on this almost meaningless thing and say, well, we did this, and we're going to keep doing this forever.
Right.
The reality is that, you know, kind of rambling here, as COVID fades, obviously people are going to stop doing this stuff. The fourth wave is going to be a lot smaller than any previous wave. We're moving through this, and people should act like it.
And we've got a lot more people than is even being talked about right now that are part of the herd immunity, the people who contracted COVID, like myself, for example. I'm, you know, at this point, I'm protected because I have the antibodies. I mean, I did a follow-up, you know, blood test and everything like that to make sure my doctor did an analysis on it. He said, yeah, you're covered right now. What we don't know is how long. Like, we don't know how long even the vaccinations are going to last, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, and I think to some extent, it, and my point, not yours, is a little unfair because, I mean, this was a new disease. But science has pretty consistently gotten a lot of this stuff wrong. And science gets things wrong more often than you might think.
Right.
One of my questions early on, and this is a question I asked to Dan Crenshaw during one of my major media appearances, Pete Turner, some other people, but was, why aren't we doing antibody testing right now, large in random samples, something I know how to do, something the social science community volunteered to do very early on,
exactly,
to see what percentage of people are infected? This was maybe last August.
Yeah.
And we never really did that. That was done by private individuals like Dr. Ioannidis. Mm-hmm. So right now we're in a situation where, I mean, I've had COVID as well. Probably 50% of the population has had COVID-19, the virus, and would display antibodies, which will last for probably a year.
Right.
The question is, why should those people necessarily get vaccinated? I did, just to avoid a whole hassle about antibody testing again and proving status. But there are real questions here. Like, what we should be looking at now probably is antibody prevalence, interaction effects between the vaccine and the antibody, so on down the line. I mean, I'm not a medical researcher primarily. But I think the goal instead has been kind of a confused message of, let's take the vaccine and then we're still not going to let you do anything.
Right.
I don't really think that's very effective, as opposed to go back to freedom if you have antibodies or the vaccine.
Well, exactly, because what's happened is science has trumped our freedom right now. And as you said, I mean, the whole basis of science is you keep asking questions. The reason you keep asking questions, because you're still looking for the answers. Until it becomes a law, a scientific law, you're still asking questions. And we're not there yet. So as a result, the scientists are doing the best they can with the information they have. But unfortunately, the government has elevated their positions to, like, they're the czars or the god of COVID or something like that, when they really don't know. And I say this, although his arrogance would probably get some people upset with me, because I would say, you know, poor Fauci, because when you trail and you run a trail of different statements that he's made, he's all over the map. Because that's what scientists do. They kind of surround the deal, figure this out. We got about a minute left, and I wanted you to talk about your podcast. But before you do, just real quick, because you're an academic and you've done the deep dive research, because I keep having this discussion with people regarding masks, the size of the virus compared to what the mask can stop. It's like a gauze, gauze bandage. I mean, it's nothing. I mean, the it's not going to stop the virus at what 0.001 microns.
Well, masks do have a slightly reductive effect on COVID from the studies I've read, but the whole point of masks originally was they were supposed to be part of this general pattern, washing your hands, staying home.
Right,
staying,
exactly.
18
yeah.
other things. They became sort of a religious symbol. No one expected that. And as for the podcast, yeah, check out the Cut the Bull podcast. It's Cut the Bull on YouTube. It's myself, Charles Love, Shamika Michelle, some people from kind of that black business right wing, basically. Also rotating liberal co-hosts. Cut the Bull on Twitter. So if you Google Cut the Bull podcast, you'll find us. And if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see the link for our first show, which is going to be dropping Friday.
Have to check it out. Dr. Wilfred Riley. Thank you, buddy. Take care.
Thanks, Bill.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient aliens.